glory. Aren't you glad that we can worship the Most High God?
Yes,
Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. He lives in us just like we were singing. He is closer than you and I sometimes understand. He is just right there. Glory. What a confidence that we have in this word. Amen. This is your confidence. This is your hope. Amen. This is my confidence. Praise God. I'm so glad that you're here tonight. Anytime people of like faith come together, anything's possible. Amen. Because with God, when He is in the house, and He's in the house, all things are possible. I'm glad that Sister Carol come back tonight, and she brought her sister Juanita. Let's give them a hand clap. Glad that you're here. I wasn't supposed to mention your name, Dolores, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm glad you're here. Donna told me not to, but anyway. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what's on my heart. Go with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John. And you know what we need more than anything in our lives is we need an assurance of what the Word says Jesus is to us. We need to have everything settled about the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. Because in this world, as you look around, everything is changing. Think about from the time that you were growing up to now, how society views certain things. And the things that we used to take for granted, no longer are they the norm. They're on the outside. They're on the fringe. And so, as a group of people who are so thankful to be blood-bought. Amen? So thankful to be blood-washed. That's what we are. Amen? We need to know exactly who Jesus is to us. We need to know what He said about Himself so it will be the very standard that we live by. Amen? So let's read one verse of Scripture just for a text and then we'll pull from that. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, I want to read verse number 6, very familiar verses of Scripture, but I want us to apply this tonight by the power of the Spirit of God in our lives. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. Now mark these down on your very table of your heart. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am. I am. I am. We need to know who Jesus is to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, I thank you for your presence in our lives, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in the service today, Lord.
Yes.
We invite the Holy Spirit in and out of our lives, searching our hearts and our souls, Lord, making us molding us, having us to be what you need to be, Lord. Teach us in the way of your path, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. I was thinking about what Jesus said He was, and it made me think about a yardstick. You know, a yardstick, I can't look at this yardstick and I can't look at it and say, well, this says 36 inches on it, but I'm going to say a yard is 32 inches. I can't take a standard, a measurement, and change it. Now, I can change it in my own life if I want to, but everything that I go to do will be misconstrued. It'll be out of alignment. And so when we look at things in our life, we need to look and we need to make sure what the Word says and allow that to have the final say in our life. So tonight, you're here, I'm here, and we're in a place where the Spirit of God is just tugging on our heartstrings, wanting to elevate Jesus before us, wanting us to worship Him with everything we've got. Because the more that I worship Jesus in the middle of my situation, the more that I see how much He has love for me. I see how much He has a plan for me. I see how much He has a victory for my life. And so we're going to talk about three things tonight. I want you to mark this down on the table of your heart. This is what I heard in the Spirit. Vision. You and I, we've got to have a vision that comes only by the Word of God. Amen? And see, the vision that you have sets the values of your life. Come on now. The vision that you have, the way that you see things, the way that you understand things, whether it's by the Word of God or whether it's by the Word of the world, it's going to set your values. It's going to determine how you live your life. It's going to be the focal point of what you put emphasis upon your life. It's going to determine everything that you do, eternal or temporal, good or bad. And then according to how you have vision and according to how you live from that vision and your value, it will determine whether or not you have virtue. I'm talking about New Testament virtue, power. Power. You and I today, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be able to walk out this salvation, to live this life for Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Let's look at this again. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I am. Jesus says, you know, a lot of people just look at the seven sayings of Jesus. You know, I am the light. I am the bread. I am the resurrection. But there's at least 25 I am sayings or am I sayings in the Gospels that you need to really be familiar with. Because as we start seeing who Jesus is and we start recognizing our identity in Jesus Christ, come on now, it starts changing our very understanding of who we are. Because I'll never know who I am until I know who Jesus made me to be. Jesus, blood bought me, blood washed me, blood bought you, blood washed you, to make us His own. Come on, you are of the Beloved tonight when you believe in the heart and confess with the mouth. You are of, you're named into the family of God. You've got a destiny. And so I need to see some things where I can make sure that I have the vision of God. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. You've heard this preached out of many, many times. But in the book of Proverbs chapter 29, look at the Word of God. It says in verse number 18, talking about vision, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there's no revelation, where there's no understanding that there's something more. Right now, there is a spirit that is moving across the whole world, but specifically the United States of America. It's a spirit of darkness. It's a spirit of you better live where you can live because there's no hope other than in this life. People are trying to get everything they can out of this life. This life is just a vapor. The Epistle of James, he tells us that. He said that your life in this flesh, my life in this flesh, it is just but a moment. And so all about this life is just the training ground for the eternity in Jesus. Amen? In Jesus, the whole enchilada is going to be at your very disposal, at your very position at the table of the Lord. Amen? You've got to see that. And so what we need to do tonight is understand that I need to have a vision about my Father's business. I need to have a vision of what He created me for. And I need to see that I am an overcomer because Jesus overcome. I am not a defeated foe. I am a victor. Come on, the enemy is the defeated foe. You are in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. You have victory. And so He said, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, he or she that keepeth the law, happy are they. In other words, when you and I, when we see what the Word of God says to us, thank God for this whole Bible. But tonight, the whole Bible is not going to do you a lot of good. You need a rhema word by the Spirit of God tonight. You need to hear from God tonight. You need to know that God is talking to you tonight to help you, to empower you, to give you a word that will bring faith. Faith that pleases God. Faith that causes you to access grace. See, the Bible says that God gives you and I faith. And when He gives us that faith, it enables us, empowers us to access the grace of God, which is all sufficient, as they were leading us in worship, which is the key to overcoming in all situations of life. Amen? So Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, He's our yardstick. He's our yardstick. I need to see that I can see by Him. We need to stop saying, oh, if I just know what to do. Amen. Come on, the devil wants you to be in the place where you're always backing up. You're always, well, someday things are going to be better. Someday I'm going to have the victory. Someday I'm going to have the understanding. No, the vision tonight, you need to see that Jesus Christ said, I am the way. Yes. Come on, He's the way. You know which way to go tonight. You know what to do. God's calling you. He's pulling on your heart. He's bringing revelation to you. He's bringing unction to you. Your flesh is fighting it. And there's all kinds of words from the world that would try to limit you and try to be the thief of the world that would steal, kill, and destroy the Word of God out of your life. But tonight you've got to say, no, I've got vision. I've got vision because I'm going to listen to what God says. Come on. That's all you've got to do is make the confession. Lord, whatever you say to do, I'll do. And that's keeping the Word of God. He said that those who don't keep it, He said that they're loosed. Loosed from the very blessing of God. Because see, it says where there's no vision, my people perish. That word perish, it means that they're loosened from everything that God has for them. But you, because you're willing to say, I will see by the Spirit. Come on, you inherit the promises of God. And you're not in a place of sadness. Come on, how many people do you know tonight that they're overrun by sadness? They're overrun by fear. They're overrun by heartache. Come on, the world is in a deep turmoil. There is a spirit that's moving across the people. Suicide is an all-time rate. There's so much confusion. There's so much heartache because the devil is working overtime. And it's you and I, it's our opportunity to say, wait a minute, I've got the answer for you because I'm in it myself. It's Jesus. He is the way. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And by Him, I come to the Father. Come on, I come to my Father. My vision is that I, as they were singing tonight, because of what Jesus done, that veil that kept us out of the Holy of Holies, it was rent in twain. That by the name of Jesus, I could come boldly under the throne of grace. I could come back to my Father, my Creator, and I could allow Him to impart into my life a vision of what He has for me. Your life is going to get better and better and better. Amen. Come on now, we've got to believe that. Yes. There are people who say, well, how can you say that? Bad things happen. Hey, bad things happen. But you serve a God who said He could help you in the midst of the bad. He could turn it to good even. He can help you to trust Him. Come on, we're all learning how to trust God. We're learning how to walk in a deeper level with Him. And all of this darkness and all of these things that's happening, we've got to have a vision. We've got to see that God wants to give us a vision. And we have a vision because He's our King. Go with me to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 17. Now here's where the world is tonight. They're like Micah. Judges chapter 17, verse number 5. Judges 17 and 5. And the man Micah had a house of gods. Boy, don't that sound familiar. Boy, that makes people quiet. Now let's understand what a god is. A god is anything that you and I put confidence or faith in, trust in place of, in front of, before Jesus. That can be our job, our bank account, can be our spouse, can be our children. It can be any sort of thing in the community or in this world. We've got to be very careful and look at this and say, oh, this is just an Old Testament happening. There is all sorts of gods that show up in people's lives tonight. And the man Micah had a house of gods, and he made an ephod and a teraphim. And he consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Now let's think about that. How silly it is to try to allow a vision for us to be created by man. Come on, I can't give you vision. Nobody in your life can give you vision unless they're inspired or anointed by the Holy Spirit for a special circumstance or situation. But this man here, he was looking, he was making his own church. He was making his own religion. He was making his own way. Now, we look at that and we almost snicker. But how many times, if we would be honest with each other, have we not in times past tried to make our own God? I love you, Jesus, but I want you to be this way. I want you to talk to me this way. I want you to minister to me here. I want you to do this here. I'm not willing to go here. I'm not willing to do this. I'm not willing to say that. We put God in a box. Come on now. But if I'm looking and I see that Jesus said He's the way, He's the truth, He's the life, He's my way to the Father is love. The Father is life. The Father is the source of all things. And that Jesus said that through Him, I could come and meet my Creator, my Father. Why would I want to look and believe anything else? Amen? Look at verse number 6. In those days there was no king in Israel. Come on, when you and I, We're looking at the negative side of this, but I want you to pull from the positive in just a minute. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did which was right in his own eyes. That's where we're at right now in America. Everybody that has rejected Jesus as being their Lord and their Savior, they're making their own rules. They're taking what's right and they're saying it's wrong, and what's wrong, they're saying it's right. They're saying the darkness is the light, and light is darkness. But Jesus said that there would be a time when men would be a lover of darkness. And we're in that time right now. We recognize it and we see it. But you and I have got to have a vision from God to see, wait a minute, if I make Jesus my king, then I will not end up like this. Come on now. He said, in those days there was no king in Israel. And every person did what was right in their own eyes. Tonight we're talking about a vision to know what God would have us to do. Because you've called upon the name of the Lord. Come on, how many's called on the name of the Lord? Let me see your hand. Come on, you've called upon the name of the Lord. That means Jesus Christ is the King of Kings in your life. And if He's the King of Kings in your life, that means you can know what to do. Come on now. See, the devil wants to try to keep us in a place of condemnation. He wants to keep us in a place of lack. But tonight, I want you to be built up by the Spirit of God, revealing the Word of God in your life. I want you to know that you can know what to do, when to do it, and it'll always work whether man says it will or not. Now see, I've got to see it through the eyes of God rather than my eyes. Because sometimes I thought things just went horribly, and it wasn't what needed to be at all. But then after reflecting on it and allowing the Spirit of God to show me the truth about it, I saw how good God is. Amen? So tonight, your yardstick is not what you look at from the natural. It's not your vision in the natural. Your vision is that Jesus Christ is your King. Look at the last verse of this book, Judges 21:25. Second witness. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own sight. Now that word did is from a Hebrew word that means to be a continuous action. Now that's the negative side. So what's the positive side? The continued action is if Jesus is your king, you're going to do what's right in His eyes. Come on now, the devil has convinced so many people. I talk to them, and with tears streaming down, they look at you and they say, I want to do what God wants me to do, but I never know. That's a lie of the devil. You can know because Jesus said He was the truth, and He wants to lead you and guide us into all truth. Amen? He is your partnership. We talked about it this morning. He's the one that wants to walk with you, work with you. He's the one that wants to take you by the hand and allow you to follow His voice. Amen? That's power. Now let's look at something. Let's see what happens. Go with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. And let's look at the Apostle Paul. He had a vision change. And when he had a vision change, his values changed. His values. Everything that he trusted in and believed in, it flip-flopped. Philippians chapter 3. Let's just pick it up for sake of time in verse number 7. Philippians 3 and 7. The Apostle Paul says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He goes through this whole thing of telling who he was in the flesh, in the natural. His Hebrew heritage, if you would. But look what he says. He said, I got rid of that. In verse number 8, he said, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them, his old way of thinking, his old confidence. He said, I do count them but dung, that I may win, I may gain Christ. And see, all of a sudden, just think about him. He had so much confidence in his birthright. He had so much confidence that he was a Pharisee, that he was of the tribe of Benjamin and all of these things, that he was a keeper of the law. But when it come down to it, all of a sudden, when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, his values changed. He realized that everything he was putting his hand to was against the plan and the will of God. Tonight, we need to make sure that in our life that we're getting the vision of God where our value will be on the things that God has placed in your life. See, the devil likes to put things in your life, in my life, that steals from us. That he wants us to think it's a lie. It's got a false light on it. He wants us to think that it's embellishing our life. It's making our life better. A lot of things that we're taking into our life that's supposed to make our lives easier, supposed to give us more time, steal our time. Hallelujah. Let's see about Paul's vision. I don't think we're getting where I want to get to. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. The apostle Paul, before he became Paul, he was Saul. And he was on the road to Damascus in this ninth chapter. And he was persecuting you. He was persecuting the church. He was persecuting Christians. He was putting his very finger in the eye socket of God. Amen? And all of a sudden, he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus. Let's just look at this. Verse number 3, Acts 9 and 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Aren't you ready to see some truth? Come on, light that dispels the light of this world. Come on, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, don't you know that Satan himself is transfigured, is disguised, transformed as an angel of light? He said, even his ministers, they're transformed as ministers of righteousness, but they're not. They're workers of iniquity. Amen? And so here, Paul, he sees a light. Look what it says in verse number 4. And he fell to the earth. You and I tonight, we've got to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. If we'll fall to the earth, if we'll fall out of the things of this flesh, you come from the earth, from dust to dust. Ashes to ashes, come on now. We recognize that this, everything about this body, that what it wants and what it desires, it's going back to the ground. But you're who you really are, your spirit, the soul of your spirit is your personality. Come on now. It's who you really are. That's going to live forever. And it's going to live with God because tonight you've chosen to make Jesus your king. Amen? He's your vision and he's changing your values. All of a sudden, as everything that Paul was trusting in, he was trusting in his religion to get him by. And he was promoting his religion, his way. But all of a sudden, true light shines on him and it causes him to fall to the ground. And he hears a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Tonight, you and I, there is no way knowingly that we would come against Jesus. But I don't want to offend you, but every one of us under the sound of my voice, starting with me, has done that. We've done it. Because we say, Lord, I know better. I know what I want, and I know how to make it work. And the Lord just pulls back and he lets me go over here and make my little time, my little plan. And he says, when you're through messing with that, you'll turn to me, I'll help you. When you've made the biggest mess you can make and you recognize and realize that it isn't going to work, I'll be here. The Lord wants to help us. There's some things tonight that need to be changed in our life, and he is going to empower us to be able to do it if we'll take heed to this word. Amen? Verse number 5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. There is nothing harder in our life than kicking against the will of God. Somebody's running from God tonight. You know God's called you to do something. You know God's wanting you in a certain place, in a certain position. He has gave you revelation. He has gave you unction. But you're kicking against the prick. This word prick is kentron in the Greek. And it's the very compass of life. It's what this whole world is set on. God set this world on a compass. And he has the way for it to flow perfectly when you and I get in his will. Amen? We get in his plan. Now look, this light hits him. Drop down and look at verse number 8 for sake of time. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. Now you and I, we've got to see that when we see the things of God, all of a sudden, everything else that we were looking at and trusting in, it's gone. Come on now. Now, I understand that this is talking about his natural sight was gone, but it's here to teach you. It's a type to teach us that we don't have to be controlled by what we see in the natural. Come on, we look in the natural and we look, and there's red in the bank account. We look in the natural, there's hurtful words being stirred in our mind from the past, from those that we love and that we have trusted in to help us and to encourage us. There's situations of no respect and all of these things that's there that the enemy uses to try to hurt you and keep you bent down, bowed down to those things. But the victory is in the new vision, changing our values, understanding that God loved me. God esteemed you valuable. Amen? And so man may not, but God does, and we've got to hold on to that. Amen? Drop down to verse number 17. Acts 9 and 17. And Ananias went his way. He went in to see, he had a commission from God to go to Saul. And he said, putting his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Verse 18. "And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and he arose and he was baptized." Come on, this is what happens when you and I, when we have a new vision. We have a new vision. The Apostle Paul, he was able to say, "Everything that I trusted in, everything that I wanted to do before, I recognized and realized it was of no avail to God. It had no place in the eternity." And all of a sudden, those scales, those things that was limiting him, those things that was on him that was causing him to only see one way, when he saw Jesus. Tonight, I want you to see Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'll see that in a new, fresh manner, not as an old scripture that you've heard a million times, it will change your life. You've got to believe that. Amen? Here, the Apostle Paul is, he's changing. And all of a sudden, it gets him into a place where he is not preaching a doctrine. He's preaching a person. He's living the power of Jesus. Go with me to Acts 14. Let's see something. See, vision, value, it brings virtue. Acts 14, verse number 7. Acts 14 and 7. This is Paul, him and Barnabas, they go to Lystra and Derbe and Lyconia. And it says, "And there they preach the gospel." See, it really doesn't matter what I say to you if it's not the Word of God. That's why I tell you all the time, I have a lot of opinions, but unless I just have to, I don't share my opinion, because my opinion doesn't matter. And sad to say, my opinion changes, because I'm an imperfect person in an imperfect vessel, and as I hear the perfectness of my Savior, I change. Amen? And so we don't need to limit people by opinions, but we need to live by this Word. Here, all of a sudden, Paul is not talking about all the things of Judaism. He's talking about the gospel, the good news. He's talking about the way, the truth, and the life. He's talking about how to get back to the Father. Come on, now the law will never get us where we want to go. In other words, being religious, being good enough, will not get you where you need to go. Tonight, I've got to stand in faith by the grace of God and say, "Lord, I believe that I'm accessing all your promises. I believe that I am blessed. I'm not cursed. I believe that I'm the head and not the tail. I believe that I'm an overcomer. I believe that I'm a joint heir. I believe all of these things rather than what I'm feeling, rather than what I'm seeing, because I have an identity that is the yardstick of Jesus Christ." Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. All right. He preached the gospel, verse number 8. "And there sat a certain man at Lystra." Notice this. Lystra means ransom. You know how many people tonight, starting with myself, had to be bought back by Jesus Christ? That was our only hope. He came to seek and to save me that was lost. He came to ransom me. He came to ransom you, amen? To redeem you by His own blood. To buy back. That's what the word means. Notice this. This man is at Lystra, and as he sat there, he was impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Now, come on. Aren't you tired of living like this world says to live? God's asking us to come up higher tonight. He's asking us to get out of the status quo. It's easy to get up and go to church. We can get up and go to church. God don't want us to get up and go to church. He wants us to bring the revelation of Jesus Christ with you, with me. Let's come together and let's say, God be God. Let's let the gospel go forth. Let's let the word go forth. Let's see those who have been hurt from the time they were born. Let's see them hear the gospel. Let's see them meet Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. Let's see their yardstick change because we give them a vision. We give them an opportunity to have their values change. And then the virtue, the power of God flows in their life. Come on now. Glory. All right. The same heard Paul speak who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Now look, Paul's looking at him. He's looking at the man. He's looking at the very look on his face changed because as the gospel, as the seed goes out, all of a sudden he sees that word being loosed in this man's spirit. And as he sees that word being loosed, he perceives, he recognizes that he has faith to be healed. Why? Because every time that the word Jesus goes forth, there's virtue. There's virtue. There's power. Amen? There's power. Now notice what happens. He said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Now think about that. Can't you see that? Can't you get a mental picture of that and allow it to go from the mind to the spirit? Here this man is. The Bible goes into great detail to let us see the situation that he's in. He has been lame from his mother's womb. He never walked. But when the gospel, when the good news, when the way, the truth, and the life was presented to him, all of a sudden, he heard the word. He acted upon the word. Tonight, if I'm going to have a new vision that will change my values, that will put everything that I trusted in the past under the feet of Jesus, under the truth of the word of God, then the virtue is going to flow. Power is going to flow in my life. The manifestation of the Spirit is going to change everything about your life and my life. But we've got to believe it. Amen? So think about this. He never walked, but he didn't have to learn. Now, by the Spirit of God tonight, you and I, we need to let the Holy Spirit do some miraculous things in our life. Because there's some things you and I don't have time to learn. Come on now. The day is short. Come on. Night is prevailing. Jesus said that there was going to come a time when no man, no woman, no boy, no girl could work because the darkness was going to overtake. You and I, we've got to be ready and we've got to be about our Father's business. And some things you and I, we just need to step into tonight. Amen? We need to trust God. Let's look at Jesus real quick. Go with me to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 6. Let's look at this word virtue. I want you to see it. Jesus spends all this time in prayer in this sixth chapter and in calling out his disciples and making them apostles. But start in verse number 17, Luke 6 and 17. And he, Jesus, he came down with them. Now, Jesus wants to go with you everywhere you go. Do you believe that? Mark chapter 16, Jesus said that you go and you preach the gospel. That's not to preachers. That's to everybody. Every blood-washed child of God. He said, you go. I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to confirm your word with signs following. That's virtue. See, you've got to expect it tonight that you've got virtue in your life. Come on, you're lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You have a word tonight, the word of the gospel. Amen. You've got a word tonight to change your life. Start with your life. Lay hands on yourself. Start speaking God's promises over your situation, over your circumstance. Preach the gospel to yourself and believe that you're going to have a vision. Believe you're going to have a value change. Believe that the virtue, the power of God is going to meet you where you're at. I've had some of the greatest prayer times when it was just me and Jesus. He changed things in my life that I couldn't otherwise have got them to change. And I didn't know who to turn to, but He was always there. Amen? All right. And he came down with them, and he stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people, they from all of Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre. Tyre means false rock. There's a lot of people in the false rock that Jesus wants to touch. He wants to bring them out. Amen? Come on, they think they're saved by everything, but what truly saves them, and that's only Jesus, out of the coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and what? To be healed of their diseases. All we've got to do is hear. Well, remember, when we make Jesus our King, we have the assurance that we're going to have His vision. We're going to, and if you have His vision, you have His words. Come on, words is what, when I say a word, if I say dog, you don't see D-O-G, you see your dog, probably. Come on, the vision. So when the Holy Spirit speaks the word to you, speaks the gospel, speaks the truth to you, you hear it according to what you need, according to where you're at, according to your experience, because God is the kind of God that talks in a language that you understand. Amen? And so they came to hear him, to hear Jesus, and to be healed of their diseases. Now notice what happens. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, hallelujah, think about that just for a minute. You realize the number one described medication, come on now, is for anxiety, mental issues. The number one. Mental issues that cause sleep disorder. The medication went from 10 million for sleep disorder prescriptions in the year 2000 to 30 million in the year 2010. I don't even know what it is now. I haven't looked lately. Every spirit that the devil has wants to come and to steal, kill, and destroy your life and my life. Amen? This word right here where it says, and they that were vexed with unclean spirit. This word vexed means it's a tormenting. A tormenting spirit. But if we'll hear, we can be healed from everything. Notice what happens. Verse 19. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, to touch Jesus. For there went virtue. Notice that. There went dunamis power, virtue out of him, out of Jesus, and healed some of them. Jesus don't want to leave nobody out. I don't know what your situation is tonight. I don't know what the problem is. I don't need to know. But I'm here to tell you the gospel, the good news is that the Lord Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, He wants to bring you to the Father. And when you come to the Father in the name of Jesus, everything that's wrong can be made right. Come on now. He healed. This word healed is the word sozo, okay? Healed is not a good enough translation. The word is more powerful than that. The word means that Jesus wants to make you whole. Come on now. That's a good place to worship. That's a good place to say, I believe, I receive. Amen? Jesus wants to make you whole. Whole. Not lacking any good thing. Come on now. Glory! That's the God that loves you. Loves you enough that demonstrated His love, Romans 5:8, for you, that He sent Jesus. That while I was a sinner doing my own thing, going my own way, He sent Jesus to die for me. To die for you. Amen? That's the love of the Father. That's the plan of God. And so tonight, we've got to have a yardstick of saying, I'm not going to listen any longer to what the enemy says. I'm going to listen to what God has promised me. Jesus said, I come that you might not only have life, but you might have it more than abundantly. So if there's any area in your life, in my life tonight, that we don't have it more than abundant. The word, the God kind of life is Zoe. It's the abundant life. It's the Zoe kind of life. It's the kind of life where you lay down in the midst of every struggle and you know that Jesus is your shepherd. Come, it's the greatest place. Very few times, can I be honest with you? Can I just, because you know, this tell you just like it is, because I am a person that has to have Jesus in every area because I continually fall short. I continually try to trust in myself and I got to come back to Him and just say, Lord, you know me. Thank you for loving me and helping me, you know? Yes. So many times, you know, we look at a situation and we say, "No, I've got this. I can do it. I can handle it." But see, I got to come back to Jesus and I got to say, "Lord, I remember when I felt like this was just swallowing me up, and it didn't matter what I did, there was nothing I could do about it. But I just said, Lord, You are just that. You are my Lord. And You said that if I made You my Lord, that You would shepherd me. So right now, I'm the sheep of Your pasture. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to turn to. I don't know what to do. I don't know. But I just know that You said that You love me with an everlasting love, and that You promised me that You would not only meet my needs, but You would change my desire where You could give me the desires of my heart." Come on. Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He might, maybe, give you the desires of your heart. The word delight means to be soft and pliable. He's the potter, we're the clay. So tonight, would you just let Jesus show you any area of your life that you're allowing a yardstick to be set by self or by the world? And would you see that you qualify? See, because of the blood of Jesus, you qualify to be blessed. You qualify for Him to take care of you. You qualify. See, the devil wants to say, "Oh boy, if you can just go to church enough, if you can just pray enough, if you can just read your Bible enough, if you can just be good enough, I can never do that." No human can ever do that. Jesus did it for us. So tonight you qualify because of your faith in Jesus. So let's let Him bring a vision that'll change the value. See, if we're putting a little value on something that we're trying to control and manipulate instead of giving it to Him, it'll never be more than what I can make it in my hand. But as Brother Corey said 3 weeks ago in Sunday school class, what the move of the Spirit was, if you don't sow, you can't grow. If you don't give those things that you're trying to control, I'm trying to control, to Jesus, He can never make it what it needs to be. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love You. We worship You. We thank You, Lord, for the move of Your Spirit in our lives. We ask You right now, Lord, that supernaturally that You touch every person in here. Lord, You have orchestrated this evening. You have brought us here at this moment of time. Lord, and I just, every outside voice, every hindering spirit, in the name of Jesus, I command it right now to be still, to be quiet. Father, help us to be able to hear what You're saying to us. Draw every person to this place where they see that You're the way, the truth, and the life. And anything they don't know what to do in themselves, they can trust in You that You would bring revelation tonight. Anything that is a lie, it'll be revealed. And anything that is dead, that is a sapling, that is suckling out of our lives, that's pulling from what You would have, let it be revealed so it can be cut off. Lord, You said in John 15:5 that without You, we could do nothing. So the promise is, because we have You, because You are our King, we can do all things. Lord, let it be. Let every person hear that. Let them respond to that. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by Your Spirit, Lord. You do what only You can do as we yield to You. We ask You, Father, in the name of Jesus. Would You come tonight, make Yourself an altar here between you and the Lord? If we can help you in any way, we'll pray with you. But I promise you that Jesus will meet you right where you're at in every situation. Be honest with God, and He'll be honest with you. See, the Bible tells us that we reap what we sow. See, I was wanting God to tell me some things. He couldn't tell me the truth because I wasn't telling Him the truth. Somebody needs to hear that. If I want the truth from God, I got to tell Him the truth. Amen? And sometimes the truth is something that we don't like to face. We don't like to confront it. But when we confront the truth, then all of a sudden, the reality of what the promises of God are for us, they're there. and there are hours in the name of Jesus. Would you come tonight? Hallelujah.